Evangelism here at the church. And when we think about how someone becomes a Christian, how we reach out to them to share the message of Christ, we normally focus on these three words, the process. First, someone has to believe. They believe in Christ. Then they have to begin to behave. They learn what to say, what not to say, how to act. They behave. And then finally, they're invited to belong. They're welcome into the Christian community, to a local church, to a small group. But I'd like for a moment, as we consider outreach and evangelism, it's something that we're going to talk about today and the next week. And in fact, we're going to talk about outreach. It's going to be one of our themes for this entire year that's coming up. But I want to look at it from a different angle, perhaps a different perspective. Instead of this linear way of believe, behave, and belong, what if it was turned around? What if we look at it as, first and foremost, being a place where folks can belong? Let's suppose that when Jesus called his disciples, all of them didn't have it all together. They didn't all believe. They still had doubts and questions. And so he offered them a place to belong. Then as he walked alongside of them, as he taught them, but as he just demonstrated through his actions and his words, he discipled them. They learned how to behave. And then they believed. A lot of them, those last moments after the resurrections, they made that profession that they finally understood the message that Jesus was preaching to them, was telling them, was giving them an example. What then does that say about our approach to outreach and evangelism? If we wanted to be a place where folks could belong first, then they could learn to behave, and then they, as they had seen the example of Christ in our lives, make that profession of faith. So as we are looking at outreach from a different perspective, a different approach, I wanted to share with you a very familiar scripture passage, Psalm 23, but one that's typically not shared or preached upon when we talk about evangelism or outreach. And I'm going to share it with you from the King James Version. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. I'm going to read it because if I try to recite it from memory, I've been known to miss a verse here or there and don't want to mess up. And even if you want to recite it along with me, if you know it, I welcome you to do so out loud. Psalm 23 from the King James Translation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you hear the words about evangelism and outreach? Probably not. As we know, this is a psalm of comfort. This is one of those texts that when we go to, when we find ourselves in deep despair. There are several passages in the Bible that I've noted that I refer to as sacred words of comfort. Ones that we share when there are those times of need, when there are those dark moments. And if you took Psalm 23 and you boiled it all down to one truth, one message, it's trust in God. And so I'd like to take a moment to look at this theme, trusting in God, as we go verse by verse. This psalm reminds us to trust in the presence of God. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. the poetry here that the writer of the psalm presents to us, this image of God as our shepherd, which makes us as sheep. And you've heard preachers talk about this all the time, that sheep, the characteristics of sheep, are ones that they need a shepherd. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep are prone to getting lost. They put their heads down and they just wander around looking for their next meal. They pay no attention to where they're at, whether they may be lost or whether there's danger nearby, but they're not afraid. They don't worry because they know that the shepherd is going to be near. For us as Christians, as believers, as children of God, we trust God that He is always present, that He is always near, watching out for us. Psalms 23 reminds us to trust in the provision of God. Verses 2, 3, and 5. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. The shepherd provides food for the sheep. He gives them pastures. He brings them to the waters. But not just any pastures, not just any waters. Green pastures is what the sheep want, not just the dry hayfield. He didn't bring them to running waters where they'd be scared, but where they need to feel secure, to the still waters. The shepherd provides exactly what the sheep need, and they trust in Him. We trust also that God provides for all of our physical needs. But He also restores our soul. How many times do we turn on the TV or we go online and read in the newspaper and we see an article or we hear a news story about some type of corruption? Whether it's in the banking industry or the business world or whatever it might be, where folks who have plenty, where they have all their physical needs met, for whatever reason, they've done something shady, something questionable. You could say that they find themselves morally bankrupt, spiritually poor. These are people that will dress in a suit and a tie, and they look nice. And from the outside, they seem like they have it all together. They've got money, so they shouldn't have a want. But inside, they're empty. Inside, they have a need. They find themselves needing to have their soul restored. They need someone to remind them that they can trust in God's provision, that God will be able to restore their soul, to restore their faith that they had lost perhaps at one time. Psalms 23 reminds us to trust in God's protection. Verse 4, one of the famous, more known parts of this psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What the Hebrew literally says here is, even though I walk through the darkest valley. So then, could death be the darkest valley that we're ever going to face? It can be. There's a lot of fear that folks have when they face death. But for those that I have walked alongside that have found themselves in this dark valley, who are believers, they don't fear because they know where they're going. They know they're going to be home with their Lord. But they're worried and they're anxious because they're going to leave behind their loved ones, their community of faith. They're saddened to say goodbye. There are folks that found themselves in those darkest valleys. Those of us who've lost loved ones, who mourn their homegoing. Without saying any names, I remember one of our church members sharing this exact situation. grieving the loss of a loved one, and how another church member reached out to them who'd been through the same situation and also lost a spouse and called them each day and said, it's going to be all right. It's tough now, but it'll get a little bit better each day. And those were the exact words that that person needed to hear. That was trusting God to provide for them, using His believers to reach out. We find ourselves at other times in our life walking through these dark valleys. And it may be a problem we face that doesn't have anything to do with losing a loved one, but it's a problem and it causes us to worry and we become anxious. We become afraid and we don't know if we're ever going to make it out of this dark valley. But we need to be reminded, especially in this psalm, to trust that God is there with us, that God is going to protect us in the darkness. And this is one of the verses that speaks to me because sometimes I don't practice what I preach. When I find myself in a dark valley, I worry. And I'm like, what's going to happen? I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this. And this, the weight of that anxiety just weighs heavy on my shoulders and on my heart. But then if I think about it, the days or the weeks that I might be in that dark valley, I'm reminded of the days, the weeks, the months, the years that I wasn't in that dark valley, that I was walking along on the mountaintop on those sunny days where God provided, God sustained, God's presence was very near. Psalms 23 reminds us that even in those dark times, that God's near us, that God's going to provide for us. And finally, we want to be reminded that we can trust in the promise of God. Verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Most likely the author's words when he wrote these words was thinking about going to God's temple, God's house, the temple in Jerusalem, and praising God for the remainder of his time. But a lot of times when we read this passage, we think of our home going to heaven. We think of our time that we will leave this earth and go home to be with God and praise God for eternity. I'm reminded of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5 that we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we've got a building from God, a house not made with human hands, but is one eternal in the heavens. Psalms 23 is a psalm of comfort. It's a psalm that reminds us to trust in God's presence, to trust in God's provision, the green pastures, the still waters, to trust in God's protection when we walk through those dark valleys, and to trust in God's promise of eternal life through the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross and His resurrection. So then our challenge is to take this message of trust and to share it with those that are in need. So how do we do this? Well, you can just invite those folks to come to church and to hear a Sunday school teacher talk about it, or to hear myself or whoever preach about it. But what if those people won't come to church? Then it's up to us. It's up to us to take this message to them. It's up to us to share these words. But how? Start to worry. I'm not a preacher. I don't have the words. I don't have the skills to be able to share this. And if you wanted me to like try to share this, I'd mess it up. I would feel bad about saying the wrong thing and they get confused. And so there's no way that I could do this. So here's the part of Psalm 23 that's about outreach, that's about evangelism. How did the shepherd offer comfort? By using no words at all. The shepherd didn't speak any words at all, but it was through the shepherd's actions. The shepherd makes us lie down. The shepherd leads us. The shepherd is with us. The shepherd prepares a place for us. The shepherd anoints us. The shepherd dwells with us. The shepherd offered comfort. God provided everything that we would need. Didn't use any words at all. Sometimes our call to help others, to reach out, doesn't require us saying anything at all. Yesterday was one of those examples of how we gather to reach out to those that are in need. I don't remember having a project where anybody had to go out and preach a sermon. Most of them were going out and using your hands, using your skills to provide some type of service. But the folks there knew that what you were doing was because of the love of Christ. I'm not sure how many in our church, I know at least Dick and Kathy and Carson got to go down and work at the rescue mission. And I was a little worried about this project, and Carson and Dick can tell you, it was pulling weeds and spreading some mulch at the actual men's shelter, but across the street was a transitional home that someone had donated to that ministry. And so they wanted trash cleaned up. They wanted some of the shrubbery trimmed. There was poison ivy. There was a lot that needed to be done. I didn't have a project leader. So when I found out that Carson was going to be coming back late Friday night, early Saturday morning, and I said, Carson, you don't have any plans then Saturday. He said, no. So I really told him that he's going to be the project leader. I could tell he was a little anxious, but he was great. He said, I'll do it, whatever. Well, then when Dick said he would go down, then Thursday night, there was a member from Esker's Grove by the name of Calvin. He said, I'll go do whatever you need to do. He had a lot of skills, and he had a lot of tools. He even went down on Friday night and surveyed the work. He showed up with a truck, and he had generators. He had all the tools and everything that they needed, and they just went to town. I had no idea exactly what they'd done or what needed to be done, but Calvin sent me some pictures via email, and I got to see the whole transitional home, which I'll show you the before pictures later, but it was just trash everywhere. Overgrown bushes, poison ivy, which Dick said he's never gotten, so I think he volunteered to take it off. And then the after picture was shrubbery just gone, cleaned. Grass mowed, trash hauled away, trees and things that were trimmed. They even put some lattice up on the back porch. And for me, this is an example of how not only Calvin being willing to use his skills and talents to help those that are in need, he invited several others of his friends that may or may not have went to church to go and to help him. And where everybody came together to make that transitional home a place for those men, when they leave a substance abuse program, to go and to get their life back on track, to become better people, to not fall back to those addictions, and to try to do more. And this house that on the outside it used to look just overgrown and rugged, like it's old and just needs to be tore down. Just in that one day's work, you can see the change where it's starting to look like a nice home. Just an example of how God can come and to change people's lives. And what we hope and pray is going to happen for those men when they make that move to the transitional home. So following the example of Calvin, of all those who worked, may we too ask ourselves, what is God calling us to do? Who is God calling us to reach out to? It may not be a sermon to preach, but it could be a call or a card or just a kind act of service to let them know that God loves them. Will you join me in prayer? God, we know that you have blessed us in so many ways, Lord, and we know that there are folks that are outside these four walls that need to know your love, that need to know that you care. And Lord, I know that you have placed a call behind our hearts to carry that message to them. We pray, God, that you will equip us, that you will empower us, that you will mobilize us to go out and to carry this message, Lord. May we look for opportunities. Place upon our hearts those that need to hear this message. Open up doors where we can just start conversations to share about the gospel, about your love. Continue to use us and guide us, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.